This is Tim Riley, and welcome to Roll Over Beethoven, a rock critic's guide to classical music. In this episode, we listen to Chopin preludes adapted by Barry Manilow and Rachmaninoff melodies refurbished by Eric Carmen. Every once in a while, the pop charts cough up something quixotic, a half-decent act with an extraordinary idea, or an inspired idea that flops. In 1975, America bent its ear to this hit from Bette Midler's old band leader, Barry Manilow. Baby, I love you. Manilow recorded that track for his debut album in 1973, but it didn't hit as a single until 2 years later. The chord progression imitates the Chopin prelude we heard at the top of the program, performed here by Artur Rubinstein. Another minor act from the same era tapped Rachmaninoff for material. Every piano student works on Chopin, who wrote almost exclusively for that instrument. Alongside Robert Schumann and Johannes Brahms, Chopin's Polish Dances and that's Carmen's second solo single, which pianists recognize as the weepy melody from the slow movement to Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. Scale Chopin pieces, like the ballades or the scherzos. As miniatures, the preludes often get overshadowed by the nocturnes or the etudes. They have their own poetic majesty, even if they also work as student pieces. In the C minor prelude, majestic chords repeat as distant echoes, a grandeur losing luster right inside its own repetitions. The challenge comes from voicing those chords so that the top notes ring out as melody and the lower notes dissolve into the mist. In Barry Manilow's recording, you hear a carny barker ringing a gong as if trying to drum up customers.
Thank you.
Those sound like Chopin chords hammered out by a game show host. Few pianists reference Manilow's rendering of Chopin with anything above disdain. Beyond that, Manilow wrote his own bridge to this progression, proving as artless a composer as he was a pianist. The weird thing was, you could hate the track and Manilow himself and still get beguiled by those fateful Chopin chords, the pianist losing his argument with the music in the most beautiful way. Ironically, this all served as an early 1976 disco hit for Donna Summer. Funny how Chopin, the ideal Polish romantic pianist, found popular voice in a Roxbury gospel singer annexing the latest dance trend. By the time Summer intercepted this material, Manilow's pretensions evaporated and hard rock began losing the battle for ears with disco's splashy uptown club scene. Saturday Night Fever came along to revive the Bee Gees, and suddenly pop rock turned partisan. Everything Australian and blow-dried was suddenly cool. And classical quotes rang of gimmickry, as we'll hear. Pop music has a long history of copying melodies from classical sources from before the rock era. The most common example might be the way Perry Como's 1957 hit, Catch a Falling Star, quotes from Brahms's Academic Overture. It's a subtle reference, but one music students always catch.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day. For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. Just in case you feel you wanna hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade.
In the rock era, this kind of thing continued, but took on a different frame. Elvis Presley's 1960 hit, It's Now or Never, had an operatic sweep, and its melody came straight from a Neapolitan Italian pop song from the late 19th century. O Sole Mio translates literally as My Sunshine. Everybody recorded this song, from Enrico Caruso to Maria Lanza. When Elvis Presley tapped it, he actually reworked a 1949 hit called There's No Tomorrow by Tony Martin. This was a more common practice in Tin Pan Alley, when more composers had classical training in the European tradition and made no pretense at profundity by quoting from the canon. Presley turned it into his best-selling single of all time upon his return from the Army. B-side of that Hollywood schlock contains one of Presley's great blues sides by Doc Pomus and Mort Schumann, Mesa Blues. I just got your letter, baby. Too bad you can't come home. I swear. So Barry Manilow sponged off Chopin, but not with quite the same erotic candor Presley brought the Italian ballad. Another minor act from the same era, the mid-70s, tapped Rachmaninoff for material. When I was young, I never needed anyone.
just for fun. Those days are gone. Living alone, I think of all the friends I've known. But when I dial the telephone.
That's Eric Carmen, who launched a solo career in 1976 after four crackling albums from his power pop band, The Raspberries, failed to catch fire. He had studied piano at the Cleveland Institute of Music, and his first single sought a tiny violin called Self Pity with the bombast of All By Myself.
Sometimes I feel so insecure. And love so distant.
The bathos was all Carmen's, the melody self-consciously quoted from Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto.
Thank you.
Harman's sudden gold record status as a solo act seemed like a cruel joke. The Raspberries had slung virile and punchy melodic pop with Go All the Way and Tonight, aside bands like Badfinger, as some of the more promising post-Beatle outfits. The genre, however, continued only as a thinning stream on through acts like XTC and Fountains of Wayne. To score big, the pop audience seemed to prefer dumbing down, with Supertramp, ELO, and Boston pumping up their vocals and guitars like helium balloons, while thornier sounds awaited punk. Eric Carmen seemed preferable to Manilow, if only for his pedigree. But his follow-up single, Never Gonna Fall in Love Again, recycled the same formula for even more bathos. That's Eric Carmen's second solo single, which pianists recognize as the weepy melody from the slow movement to Rachmaninoff's Third Symphony. Pop audience rewarded him again, but this time he didn't break the top 10. Carmen's early work here does count, however, as an early blip in a newly emerging radio format called Adult Contemporary, meaning music for slowing middle-aged rock fans avoiding clubs. And he had to wait another 10 years until the Dirty Dancing soundtrack for his big moment with Hungry Eyes. That almost seemed like just desserts, as if Hollywood had crowned him the new American Barry Gibb, a second act for a has-been with windblown hair. Classic rock's references to classical music reveal an ambivalence about highfalutin sources. On the one hand, Chuck Berry famously directed Beethoven to get a clue, and Smokey Robinson referred to Pagliacci to underline how even divergent styles share romantic themes. On the other hand, plenty of rock acts as early as Presley presumed to join a larger musical history, a subversive energy that was sturdy enough to reference the canon they rebelled against. Even if you despised Manilow and Carmen, and many rock critics barely mention them, the sound of Chopin and Rachmaninoff emanating from car radios hinted at greater horizons, possibilities beyond what these tracks could harness. If you cared enough to connect these dots, you could enter a parallel world, where inverted status could ring both heroic and ironic. All over Beethoven, For Rollover Beethoven, I'm Tim Riley. In this episode, we heard selections from Artur Rubinstein performing Chopin and Rachmaninoff, hits from Barry Manilow, Donna Summer, Eric Carmen, Elvis Presley, Perry Como, Tony Martin, and Smokey Robinson. For the Brahms Academic Festival Overture, we heard conductor Bruno Walter. For more on these recordings, visit Tim Riley's author page on Facebook.